Heavenly Father, we now come to looking into thy word. How we thank thee for it. We thank thee for the preciousness of it. We thank thee for the author of it, the Spirit himself. We thank thee the object of it, the Lord Jesus. And we'd ask now as we would read from it and would comment from it that we would indeed bring glory to thyself and the Lord Jesus. We ask that everything would be done according to thy will and in a proper manner. We ask this in the name of the Saviour himself. Amen. Amen. Hebrews, please. We're looking to a few verses in Hebrews 10 and 12. First of all, the Hebrews chapter 10. Most, if not all, the epistles have a doctrinal section and a practical section, and Hebrews is no exception. It comes here in the 10th chapter, around about the middle of the chapter. We leave the doctrine behind, wonderful doctrine, and we come into the practical section of the epistle. That's not to say there is no practical issues in the doctrine side, because there are. There's a number of serious warnings. But we come now to the practical side, and I want to read from verse 38. And the author is quoting from the prophet of the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Now we go over to chapter 12, please, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And then just to the last two verses of the chapter, verse 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Quite serious verses. The subject that I have in mind is continuous indicates genuineness. Continuous indicates genuineness. Or, as another has put it, perseverance intends to prove one's salvation. Perseverance tends to prove one's salvation. The Christian life is depicted in two aspects. The first is instantaneously. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or to put the words of the Lord himself, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life and shall be passed from death unto life. Instantaneously. That's how often salvation is portrayed from the gospel. We don't hear it so often from the second aspect, which is a process of time. Quoting the Lord Jesus again, this time in John 8:31, he says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you shall be saved. You shall have everlasting life. The seed are two different aspects. And it's the second one that I've got in mind tonight. Continuing on. Perseverance. Looking back over the years, many years, to the people that first I grew up with who knew the Lord Jesus, I've seen over the years one, two, three, more, just drift away. Drift away. Drift away. I was reading an article just recently and it stunned me a little bit. Way back in 1972, at a camp, at a Christian youth camp in North Devon, that's UK, beautiful spot, a young lad by the name of Jonathan Edwards gave his life to Christ, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour in his words. His words. He came from a good Christian home. He grew up in that home and he testified readily at school, at college, at university. He was well known for participating in teaching and gospel work, but he became a brilliant, an absolute brilliant athlete. He represented England in national titles. He represented them in international titles, and he represented them in Olympic titles. And he won medals in all three areas. He was absolutely brilliant at that. And he conducted himself as a Christian should. He testified whenever he could, and if he was allowed to, he would have a text on his name. And then in the 1991 International World Titles in Tokyo, he declined to run in one race because it was on the Lord's Day. He declined and he forfeited the medal. When he retired in his 30s, he was offered employment with the BBC, and he was the front man for the Life of St. Paul, a series ran by the BBC, and was quite good actually. I can remember it. I can't remember him, but I can remember the series, St. Paul. And then he was invited to introduce Songs of Praise, which is on each Sunday morning, the ABC has it here, and it's hymn singing and such like. He was absolutely top-notch in his profession and what he did and his testimony. And then suddenly a bombshell was dropped. He gave an interview with the Times newspaper in which he said he was an absolute atheist. He had never, ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all fallacy. He had just made it up and gone along with it. What a situation to be in. I'm not sure whether his parents were alive at the time that was made or not, but what a shock to that. What a shock to all the people associated with him. Here was a man that had really gone out of his way to testify for the Lord Jesus and then said, I just don't believe in Christ. I am a committed atheist. He was quite sure about this. As I said, there are numerous other people that have gone the same way. There's been many here. Over the years, I've been here over 50 odd years, and I've seen some just drift away, gone to visit them, just not interested, not interested. And some of you might remember the terrible instance of the, I called him Bill because that was his name, but I won't say his surname, but was commended over from Victoria some years ago. He came over, associated with Glow and his brother likewise. Absolutely convicted in Glow. That's Gospel Literature Outreach, in case you don't remember. He eventually became an elder here. He spoke on occasions, not a lot, but he liked Ephesians. And then one day, I'm not privy of what happened, but he just gave it all away. One week he was here at the morning meeting, and we had been celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary. And suddenly he dropped off. He upset a few brethren in comments, I'm not sure, but I tried speaking to him, he didn't want to know. He left his wife, and I don't know where he is now. Now, number one, Jonathan Edwards, I'd say he was never, ever converted, as he says himself. I can't speak for Bill, I'm in no position, because there are those that do drop off, come back, and there's some that drop off until the very last moment. And as Jude puts it, save them as by fire. Bye-bye. But continuousness indicates genuineness, because in case I'm not preaching fall away doctrine here, because that is the last thing I'm teaching. But there is backsliding. But the writer of the Hebrews, he's covering both aspects. Those that give it away and never were, and those that had started genuinely but were in danger of drifting. And so we see that the aspect of preaching or teaching that salvation is a continuous process is vital. It's vital to each one of us. It's vital that we continue on, because it tends to prove that we are genuine, that we are genuine. Now we go to the book and we cling to it and the promises in it. Rightly so. But we still need to do those things that show that we are a believer. And this is where James puts it. He says, "You show me your faith, I'll show you my works." Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We need to not only prove to ourselves that we're believers, we need to prove to other people by how we conduct our Christian life. If we say we're a Christian, we should act like one. I can remember once being rebuked at work many years ago when someone said, "Well, I thought you were a Christian." Now, I'd done nothing seriously wrong, not to my way anyway, but it just showed you that people watch and what they expect. They expect. But what does God expect? He expects us to keep the faith. To keep the faith, because as we wrote there, the writer wrote there, "The just shall live by faith." Now, make no moans about this, that salvation is through faith and faith alone. It's not through works, but we prove our faith by our works. Our works. Now I want to come to chapter 12, because the writer doesn't leave it just like that. He wants to give us some indication some assistance in how we might live our Christian life. Now, the Bible uses many metaphors in relation to the believer's life, and I'll just name one or two. We're soldiers. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're involved in an active warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's evil out there. We can see it, we can feel it. It's there. And we need to be careful of how we approach it. We need the right weapons. We need the right power to do it. We're builders. 1 Corinthians 3, how we build is essential. We're farmers, husbandry, it says. We are boxers. Strange to say that, but Paul says we're boxing. Boxing, I'm not a great fan of boxing. I've done it and I've had a few noses bent, but it's boxing. Boxing. And you know, the art of boxing, I was taught, was you don't watch the person, you watch the gloves that are coming at you. And you watch, your eyes are centered on things, so you're attuned to the right thing. So you can duck at the right time, etc. But one last one is what Paul brings here, is we are racers. We're involved in racing. Now, racing I deplored, because I was absolutely useless at it. Go to Ephesians, it's walking, and I love walking. But Paul in Corinthians speaks about 1 Corinthians 9, it's a racing sprint. There's only one winner. First past the post wins in chapter 9. Of 1 Corinthians. Paul is bringing a different aspect here. The writer here is bringing a race of endurance, an endurance race. It's not first past the post, it's finishing. It's finishing. Getting there at the end is what the writer is saying. One of endurance. And he tells us, he gives us a few clues here. Now what he does, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now he's referring back to chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame. God's Hall of Fame. He's got them there in pictures around. He's got them there. God's Hall of Fame, faith. And there's some lovely ones there, incredible ones. Abraham, Sarah. But they've got some unusual ones there, if I might say. You've got Isaac there now. What was Isaac's faith? He just continued on. He was not flamboyant or anything like that. He got picked upon, but by the people that came and filled his father's wells in so that he wouldn't be so prosperous. But he didn't fight over them. He just moved on to the next one. They came along and filled that one in. He went along. Until he got to Bathsheba, and then that was him. But you know, not only was he continuing in God's favour there, but he also planted, he became a farmer. He put down corn and it grew. Because of faith, because the land belonged to him, even though the people around him didn't think so. But God had promised them. Isaac had faith, just quietly going about his business. Then you've got Gideon. Now Gideon, he needed a lot of persuasion that God was going to help him, and he put the fleece down twice, didn't he? He wanted proof. And yet he's there in the Hall of Fame. Samson's there. Who would have put Samson there? Who would have put Samson in God's Hall of Fame? But he's there because he finished at the end. He didn't get things right when he should have done, and he paid the penalty. But he was there at the end. He trusted in God and he pulled the lot down. Samson. And then there's Barak. Barak. Now it's not Barak in the Old Testament, it's Deborah. Deborah, one you would have given the faith to, the prophetess. But come Hebrews 11, Barak is there, with the support of Deborah in the background, of course. So the writer is saying, right, we'll take courage, encouragement, direction from those that have gone before, the great crowd of witnesses that have gone before. They've finished their race. They've not received the reward yet. It tells you that, but at the end of the chapter, they haven't received the reward. They're still waiting at this moment. But we receive the reward once we get there. Amazing, isn't it? Then the writer tells his readers two things. He says, now lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight and a sin which so easily presented. Let's deal with, first of all, the weight. Now, weights are not sin. Weights are not sin. Weights are just things that can hold you back. That can hold you back. It can be your sport. It can be your recreation. It can be your work. It can be your work. And I think I've passed through all three of those at one time, realizing that they are a weight and they need to be put aside, because a racer, they trim down to the last bit, don't they? Not only body fat, but also clothing. There used to be an advert many years ago, a fella running for a bus, and he had 8 bars of metal or gold, and he was puffing to get there. And then they'd take one off, and to say how easy it would be to catch that bus if you shed these bars. It was, of course, trying to get people fit, to give away fat foods, etc. And it was quite a good one, because you saw the fellow puffing to try and catch the bus, and that weights. And then the sin that's so easy beset. Now, what is that sin? Now, some say that it's faith itself that the reader and the writer is referring to, faith itself, because that's what is essential to salvation, is and proven salvation, is that we don't lose our faith. We don't get dispirited because of our faith. Others think that it's with each God a sin that is peculiar to us. Now, that could well be, that could well be. But whatever it is, if we're going to run this race properly and continuously with perseverance, the weights and the sin need putting off. And then we need to run with endurance. Patience is the word there, but it's endurance. 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 That means putting up with things, carrying through no matter what might beset us, enduring that wind that might be pressing against us, running into the wind. It's bad enough running, let alone running into the wind. Obstacles that might be thrown in the way. If you've ever done one of these cross-country ones where people leave things in the way so that you've got to either jump over them or run around them. Endure. But most of all, in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You notice he uses the word Jesus, not Lord Jesus, not Jesus Christ. It's Jesus in his humanity. Humanity, because now we're delving here into his human side, because it says author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher, or the one that started and completed our faith, or faith. Our shouldn't be in there apparently, but faith. Now, how does the Lord Jesus fit into having faith? Very much so, as a human person, when he took upon himself human form, he subjected himself to needing faith in his Father. Psalm 22, from my mother's womb I trusted thee. I trusted in thee from my mother's womb, right from the birth. And just above that in Psalm 22, you've got the sarcasm, he trusted in the Lord. at his death, when he was on the cross, they came by and said, he trusted in the Lord. And then when you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, 13, and I'll read it to you. And again, this is talking about the Lord Jesus, I will put my trust in him. He's talking to his Father there. He completely put himself in the hands of his Father whilst he was here on earth. He ran the race of faith. He was the author and finisher. He's the one to look at to see who has done it himself. He can turn around and say, I've done this race. I'm not asking you to do anything different because I did it having faith in the Father. You say, well, the Lord Jesus, he was God. Yeah, but did his brothers and sisters acknowledge that when he was growing up? They didn't. They didn't. They would have seen something different about him. But he was holy, absolutely in his walk before man and before God. He kept the faith. And this is what we need to do. And the way that tells us here, looking unto Jesus, it means looking away from the others and concentrating upon the Lord Jesus. These others, yes, okay, they've got their lesson to teach us, but it's the Lord Jesus really that is the one that we should be looking at and following. And then it tells you there, verse 2, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the fourth reference to that particular aspect of the Lord Jesus. Sitting at the right hand of God. That's his prize. He's there. He's sitting down. It's all finished. He hasn't got to get up and do it anymore. It's all finished. He said at the cross, it is finished. And he has every right now to sit down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. He is, of course, working as our high priest. That's a different aspect. But his work here on earth was finished from the atoning work aspect. So let's come then to the last two verses of chapter 12. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. And that's great, isn't it? Now we've come there. The writer is accepting that his readers have come to the kingdom. They've come to Mount Zion early on in the chapter, but they've come to the kingdom. But he said, let us have grace or thankfulness whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Let us serve God with reverence and godly fear. There's so much lack of reverence today, so much lack of godly fear. They need to read the next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is light, our God is love, and many other things, but he's also a consuming fire. He is the fire, not causing the fire. Look at that again, for our God is a consuming fire. You go there to Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4, you find God in his glory there. But no one must draw near to him other than the Lord Jesus himself in that aspect. He's a consuming fire. Now, fire, of course, is seen in two aspects. Coming back to what our subject is, continuousness and perseverance. For those that drop out and have never known the Lord Jesus, it's a frightening thing. Absolutely frightening thing. If they arrive before the judgment seat and they cannot claim the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they face the fiery wrath of God, dispensed as it is by the Lord Jesus, because all judgment is committed to him. But then again, from a believer's aspect, fire is good. Fire is warmth. Fire is light. Fire is purity. So there's two different aspects. It depends where we are. Are we continuing in the faith? Are we persevering? Do we get tired? Do we see obstacles? We need to run with endurance. It is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy being a Christian. If it is, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I must admit, I'm not so much worried about, I can't see me losing my faith, and I can't see the saints here. I'm near the end now. What I'm more concerned about is losing one's testimony in the last stretch. I've seen a few do that, and that is the thing. But we need to keep looking to the Lord Jesus. He's the one that can keep us. He's done it. He's been through the race. He's finished it. We've got the written word to prove it. We've got the written word here with all the promises. It's all there. He that believeth my word and on him that sent me hath everlasting life. We've got it. We've got it. All we've got to do is now prove it to others by continuing on. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he is indeed the greatest example possible. We thank thee that he has run the race. We thank thee that at this time he is now seated at thy right hand. We thank thee for the time when we first heard the gospel, when we acknowledged that we needed a saviour and we looked to the cross to see our saviour. We thank thee for that. Now we would ask thee to give us strength to continue in the race and to finish it. We ask this in his name. Amen.